invite you to stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel. From Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This week, I had a really odd dream. I was working on a Microsoft Word document on my computer, and suddenly my computer ran out of periods. I couldn't punctuate the end of a sentence. My computer simply ran out of periods. I thought, am I going to have to buy an upgrade to my Word software so I can get some more to use? And then I was glad the dream ended and I woke up. This week, I've also spent time thinking about today's gospel. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Those are challenging words to hear Jesus speak. In our gospel, Peter couldn't understand why Jesus must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and then after 3 days, rise. So he protests to Jesus and is rebuked. Peter desperately wanted to protect Jesus from harm. So it's easy to imagine that Peter is disappointed, to say the least, that he's rebuked by Jesus with the words, "Get behind me, Satan." In Hebrew, the word that Jesus uses that is translated as Satan can also be meant the accuser or adversary. It's not that Peter is evil incarnate, but that Peter is an adversary, standing in the way of what Jesus must do. It's as if Jesus says, "Don't oppose me. I have to do this." Then Jesus tells the crowd, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." I admit that I identify with Peter in this text more than Jesus. When I look at my life, my family, my being a pastor, from my own perspective, I want to be reasonably successful. I want to watch my children grow and experience a fulfilling life. I want this church to be successful, to be full of people with a growing faith and making a difference in the community. And if it's possible, for all that to happen without suffering. I don't want to see Jesus suffer, be rejected, and killed either. But the Christian life isn't about what's in it for me. The Christian life from this text is about denying oneself. Taking up your crosses and following Jesus usually orients us away from ourselves and toward community. The cross conveys God's commitment to humanity, to you and I, those for whom Jesus died. We begin the season of Lent as a community, sometimes marking ourselves with the sign of the cross and hearing the words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." On Ash Wednesday, sometimes, people are willing to wear crosses on their foreheads throughout the day. We gather this past week as a community for a midweek Lenten service and devotion. Lent isn't just about our private devotional practices or about what we give up or what we take up for Lent. It also helps us remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. Lent seems to remind us that we as a community are in this together. We need each other to live out this season. that reminds us that we don't get the God we anticipate in Jesus. Just as the first century Christians didn't get a military leader that they expected to save them from the Roman oppression, today we don't get a God who promises prosperity, an easy life, or success. We get a cross to bear. We may not get the God we expect, but we get the God we need, the God who chooses to become human, who chooses to reveal God's self through compassionate love as opposed to force. God chooses to join us, to embrace us, to hold on to us, to meet us in our times of weakness and suffering. The God we meet in Jesus helps us understand what it is to be human, to experience disappointment and suffering, because it's in those moments where Jesus meets us most fully. Often that's why the church, the people of God, gather most earnestly during those times when life seems to be falling apart or when the grief is palpable. Perhaps the thing that holds us together as a church is that each of us have experienced brokenness. It might be a broken or strained relationship, the loss of a loved one, the abandonment of a dream of what we thought life was going to be like, anxiety over where our child is headed, or experiences that we've faced that are challenging. David Loos shared, and I quote, "To live is to struggle, to hurt, to experience loss and brokenness. I've been struck by the reality that on most occasions, we would prefer to hide that brokenness from others. Perhaps that desire comes from a kind of embarrassment. We don't know if others will respect us if we show our wounds. Or perhaps it comes from a fear of being vulnerable. We wonder if others will take advantage of us when our guard is down. Or perhaps it comes from a fear of being overwhelmed by our loss and grief. I don't know. I suspect it's all of these and more. But I do know that we tend to favor strength, health, and self-sufficiency, or at least the appearance of those things, over weakness, pain, and dependency." Unquote. We're called to take up our cross, realizing that God is most fully present for us in the midst of our brokenness, and in our willingness to enter into the brokenness of other people's lives. Once we've identified with what's happening in their lives, we can share the hope that's been placed in our hearts. I wonder, what are the crosses that you might be called to take up? I had a friend once share with me that he didn't think that we go out looking for a cross to bear, because life seems to put a cross in our path, and sometimes, perhaps more bluntly, one that we're nailed to. The crosses we bear are certainly varied. Perhaps it's something like the person who shared with me that being the primary caregiver for a family member in the last years was a joy, a burden, a cross carried out of love. Perhaps it's something like the person who shared that they didn't know what to say to a friend who was dealing with a broken relationship, but simply offered to be there. Perhaps it looks like the disappointment over unfulfilled hopes for what the future was supposed to look like. Perhaps it looks like walking into school in the morning, hoping you don't run into someone who's been mean to you. Perhaps it's like being around classmates and the pain of others not noticing you or disrespecting you. Perhaps it looks like dealing with cancer or walking with someone who is. Perhaps it looks like the mourning of the loss of a loved one. Perhaps it's the burden of staying awake at night, worrying about your children or your parents or grandparents. Perhaps it's the recognition of our complicity in the injustices in this country and abroad. Perhaps it could be recognized in the pain of those suffering from abuse or neglect. Perhaps it looks like the pain of addiction. Perhaps it has to deal with lack of civility in our public discourse, or the inability to find common ground for the good of all. Perhaps it even has to deal with our participation in how the environment has been damaged by our neglect or abuse. The burdens, the crosses which beckon our attention, are varied and complex, and many times no easy answer exists. However we identify with the brokenness of our lives, creation, and those around us, we can't just stop with words and prayers. Perhaps this is where my dream about running out of periods comes from. Words, prayers, punctuations don't fully convey the depth of God's love. God's love is meant to be experienced. You experience that love first and foremost when someone told you about the love of Jesus on the cross for you. No others will experience that love through your words, but even more so in how you take up your cross and follow Jesus, through your care of self, each other, and creation. Certainly none of us can mirror that love perfectly, but that's our calling, and it takes more than words and prayers and punctuation marks. Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory with his Father with holy angels." May God give us all the strength to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Amen. Our next hymn is number 712.
Sure.